Welcome to Divine Intervention from Dark to Life. I'm your host, Karen Young, and I'm also a spiritual teacher. And the purpose of this show is to gather experience and give voice to the untold stories of the divine and how the divine intervened in your life and made a difference. I have questions. Have you ever experienced a dream of wonder and warnings? Divine healing, felt intuition, voice of a higher power, touched by an angel, even had a near-death experience of some kind, or had a vision that resulted into divine intervention. If so, I would love to hear from you from 1-888-627-6008, 1-888-627-6008. This is a non-judgmental environment. This is a healing space. Telling your story can possibly heal yourself and others. There is a higher calling on your life. All right, this evening topic is kind of sensitive, but it's the topic is substance abuse. And substance abuse and alcohol and other uses, drugs or whatever way you want to call it, it's always been a kind of sensitive subject. Somewhat sensitive because either if somebody gone through it that you know, or you gone through it yourself, or some family member or loved one, friends, someone you know, more than likely if you get to be 20, you will hear about it or you experience it through family or loved ones or somebody you know. Alcoholism, all that. And it seems that all of us been touched in ways about it. And it's a serious, painful thing to talk about and to deal with. I have dealt with it in my life, and I'm always going to give you a story about me if I know something about it or if I experience it and how painful it really is. It's so much of us, and there's so much going on with the opioids and all sorts of things going on. And it's in our family or it's our people, it's us or somebody we know. So I want to start off, you know, going on this subject, and not really, I'm not judging anyone. I'm just saying my experiences, what I've experienced and gone through, and the people, I'm trying to say that these people are not bad people, even though they do things that are bad, and some murder, or, you know, that's what a lot of the prisons are filled up with. I mean, people are not really in their mind. It is a spiritual battle. So it's one of those things that we all come to every day that we have to deal with self. We really have to deal with the battle that's going on with self. It always comes down to spirituality. I always know you, divine listeners, know that I get right down to it. It's between you and God, you and divine, and you and Christ. And all your dealings and all your encounters, everything comes back to that. And even if you don't believe in God and you go to the AA meetings or whatever, they always tell you it's a higher power, if you don't want to call it God, but something that's greater than you, because you can't fight this addiction by yourself. So, I mean, come on, people, you can't fight it by yourself. You have to go to a higher power because you see you can't do this for yourself and by yourself. So I'm just going to go by, you know, and tell you, start by telling you, which I always do with my experience, to let you know that I'm in it too, and that I have experienced it. I've never been on drugs before, but I experienced with an ex-boyfriend of mine. And so I didn't know anything about it, guys. I was green. I had, you know, basically, like I said, grew up in the church and kind of religious and stuff like that. Things have always been around me. I'm not saying I was perfect, but as you grow, as you get older, you meet people, you know, you experience life. And this was my first encounter to really kind of grow me up and grow me in spirit and I guess, you know, let me know what's really going on in life, because it was naive in ways. But anyway, I met my boyfriend. He was a nice person. He was working as a contractor in the construction work. Real nice guy. I didn't know it. I had no idea he was this way. he presented himself well and intelligent. It has nothing to do with intelligent. But anyway, we started dating, going out. Everything seemed to be okay. But as time went by, he would get paid and stuff like that, take me out in the beginning. But then he started being missing. I didn't really know where the guy was at. Things, you know, was changing. I didn't know what was going on. But I liked him. And guys, I got pregnant by him. Not knowing, in the middle of this, you know, I'm dating him. I'm thinking, you know, everything is okay. But I'm not knowing nothing about people on drugs or addictions, any of this. I have no idea. So I'm just telling you my story and how it can affect families and everything. And so I'm one of the people it affected. So we're dealing, and I become pregnant, but everything seems to come out when you're pregnant. It don't seem to come out before, but somehow when you're pregnant or married, it come out. But anyway, I got pregnant, and I found out that he was missing work. I knew his boss. I knew where he worked at, and his boss would come to me and say, he's not been, you know, have I seen him? And I said, I saw him day before yesterday or whatever. It would be times where he would just be missing. I didn't know what was going on. So I started figuring out things, but I still didn't know how this, you know, drugs affect people and how really deep this thing is. And anyway, I was pregnant and stuff like that. So he started showing up. So I said, what is the deal? What's going on? He wouldn't tell me exactly. He was like, well, I get high, smoke marijuana, you know, I smoke joints, stuff like that. And he'd say, I put a little something in. And I said, what you mean? You know, he was like, well, I put a little cocaine or something in. I said, what? I said, I don't do that. I don't know anything about that, you know. And he was like, well, it's nothing. He made a big deal. I said, but where are you be going? Why are you missing? And so, make a long story short, things will start happening real quickly, because when you're pregnant, you know, you got to think about this child. I even thought about, should I have this child, when I found everything out and what was going on. But anyway, you know, I knew his parents, his mother and all that stuff. And then I really started knowing this person, because sometimes you just don't know who you meet. But, you know, so the mother was saying, yeah, you know, it is something going on with him. You know, I found out that he had a drug problem. And in my mind, you know, okay, he got a drug problem. But when you're naive, you think that you can fix it, or you can, I don't know. You just don't know how deep it is. But anyway, I thought, you know, all he can do is just stop using. Well, I mean, I don't understand. I didn't know how deep and in depth this problem was. And I'm not going to mention his name or anything, but, you know, he continued to use, and it became a problem. You know, eventually where I was staying at the time, I was pregnant because I was young. I had to get me an apartment. So me and my sister, we got an apartment together. For somehow reason, he got from where he was at and kind of integrated. I was young. He integrated himself in to my home. And he was saying he working, he could help out with the baby and stuff like that. But then, you know, he ended up in there. And so it started being, we got along for a while, okay. But then it started being conflict with him, because his true colors started coming out. And I was afraid, guys, because I never knew a person that was on this stuff. Cocaine or whatever. I never knew. I was just kind of afraid. I had the child. He was still using. He always kept a job. But then when he got paid, you know, he would come in and give me something right quick. But then, you know, he would go back and be like, I guess, on a binge and be gone several days. Come back. And I'm like, oh my God, this is a problem. But I'm still thinking in my mind, I could try, you know, I could help him. I could really help him. But it wasn't that way. He continued to use. He got another job at a hotel. It's like he'll lose his job, but he'll get another one. He was good at talking. He was good at getting jobs. But when he got paid, he'll disappear and do the same thing over and over again. I'm thinking to myself, now I got a child with him. Now what do I do? What do I do? Now my child is affected. This is here, his father, and he's got this, you know, problem. But I'm still thinking in my mind, you know, I'm praying, you know, I could, you know, still help him. All he had to do, we would have conversations, you know, and he would, you know, tell me, you know, well, you know, I could stop. We can do this, do that. You know, we would have these long conversations, but it's repetitive. This thing kept happening, going on. And one time I was in the apartment with my sister, and I think I told him he can come over. He asked me, could he borrow some money? I think $20. I'm not sure. But anyway, he must have been intoxicated when he came through at my home, at my apartment. He was knocking on the door, and he was talking funny. He was acting funny at my door, and I'm saying, he's intoxicated. He's out of his mind. Had the baby, I began to feel stressed, like my whole body was just kind of stressed and on alert. You know, you don't want to feel like that. So I'm telling people that people who don't necessarily have the problem, but if they're dealing with somebody with the problem, it affects them and everything around them. And so he bammed on the dead door, and I was going to let him in, but some say don't let him in. He said, you told me you was going to loan me some money. I said, well, I don't have it, because someone was telling me don't let him in. He just seemed violent. He seemed just off, you know, so I didn't let him in. And he broke my window. So we said, we got to call the police, because this, my sister told him, she's like, you know what, you such and such, I'm not going to say his name, you broke our window, we're calling police. So when we said we were going to call the police, that's when he left. And I was thinking to myself, I said, now I got a small child. I really was. I was just in the throes of things. It was, you know, it wasn't over with then. We still was dealing. He was still in my house. He was still scheming, and he would still give me money so he could shut up in the upfront, but still things weren't right. And when you're in that situation and you got a child, and you, some of you know and some of you don't know, but if you do know, it's a bad feeling. You just feel trapped. You in it. This is your child's father. You in a situation where you almost feel like you can't get out of. I was just feeling like hopeless. I'm like, I know he can get off. All he needs to do, we have these long talks again. So then another incident happened. I'm feeling something, guys. I'm in my apartment with my baby, you know, and everything. And but I'm up. I'm alert, because I felt like I always had to be on alert. Guys, you're always being on alert if you're dealing with this type of situation with the substance abuse. And I know I'm not the only one, but I'm always going to speak the truth, guys. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you my whole life, because there's a message in all of our living and our lives, even in the bad things or the terrible things, so-called terrible things that happen. There's a message. There's a sharing with that. So here I am. I'm feeling something, guys. I'm up. 3 o'clock in the morning, but I feel him. I feel this man around. But I've always been intuitive. Y'all know that if you listen to any of my show, I tell you, my feelings and my intuition is strong. So I've always been that way. But it was heightened that night. And I'm saying, I'm feeling, I was just upset. I'm just upset. I'm like, something's wrong. Something going on. I was up. I had the TV. The baby was asleep, but I was still awake. So anyway, guys, the next day I wake up, and my mom, she comes over. She didn't live that far from me. She says, Karen, such and such was over last night. He was driving my mom's car. I don't know. He had my mom. He was, you know, I borrowed her car. And she said he had told me, she had to go to work. She said he told me that somebody had either the police had told her car, whatever, whatever lie he told her, the car was right there, but he was telling my mother stories. In other words, he had got money from my mama, confiscated money from my mother, telling her her car was confiscated or told or whatever, and he did it twice. He went back. The story was so good, he went back and told my mother, no, you need even more money to get it out, and my mom gave him the money. I said, what? I knew I was feeling him around me, that intuition. I said, Mom, what time was it when he was running? She said, he came around 2 or 3 in the morning. I said, oh, that's what it was. I was feeling him. I said, he was, but I was very upset, guys, because my mom has passed away now, but don't mess with my mother. We're going to have problems. We're really going to have some problems. So I know this was a problem. Now it's going into, you know, it's spilling over into my family. My mom, now you took her money. Now we got a problem. So this is just not no one thing, guys. This could cover your whole family and more. And so I approached him when he came home that time. But I already know I'm getting tired. I'm going to end up, I think he ended up staying with me 8 months. But it's getting to that point where I just can't even do it for the baby, for whatever reason. But anyway, just telling you some of the incidents. And so I approached him. I said, listen, I said, my mother said, he was like, oh, your mother, you talk to your mother looking all, you're wild-eyed and stuff. I said, yeah, I talked to my mom, and she said that you said her car was towed or whatever, and she had to give you money twice. No, I said, listen, and I'm going to tell you guys, I'm telling you, I just give it all to you. I told him, listen, don't mess with my mother. And I was halfway scared of him during those days because I didn't know. But when I get angry, I wasn't scared of nothing. Don't mess with mom or my family. Or we really gonna have a problem. So I told him, I said, listen, you better give me my money. I don't care if you do got a problem. You better give me my money. I had to give my mother the money that he had taken from her because she had to go to work. I said, when she came back, I had the money for her. So I said, Mom, she knew that. I said this. I lied. I said, Mom, he gave you the money back, which my mom knew that that was my money. But I had to get Mom straight. But I had to get my money back from him that I gave to my mom. I said, listen, you got to give me this money back Friday. I don't care how you get. I don't care what kind of problem you got. You better bring me my money. Guys, and I just told him that, but this is what you're dealing with when you're dealing with these type of things, and then you may or may not get it, but he gave me my money because he knew I was serious. I said, hey, you can mess with your mother, you can mess with whomever, you can't mess with mine. But anyway, it was what I'm saying is, guys, it's affecting everything that's around you, the baby, my mom, everything. So I knew that, okay, I'm staying with this guy. Things are steady happening, and it wasn't getting no better. You know, it was just constantly. Now, this person, he would drink to try to control the substance that made him drink, but they didn't help because you're drinking. Now you got a substance problem, so you're doing it. That's why I just said all of it, alcoholism, substance abuse, whatever, all of it. But he had that going. He still had got, you know, was, I guess, at his job at the time, but he ended up stealing from the people he was working with. And then, of course, kept bringing that stuff in my house. And I was like, no. See, this can be a problem. I was like, no, you can't bring stolen goods in my house. And that's why I put a stop to it. And so why I'm telling you this is that the person that I'm talking to that with this problem, this nice young man that I had dealt with, he is really not himself. See, the person that's having the problem, that's doing the drugs, are not in their right mind. No judgment, nothing is going to be right. Whatever they say, whatever they do, they're being controlled by that substance. And not saying that they can't take responsibility, but that's really not them. That's not who they really are in truth. That substance got them going, and they'll do anything to get it. But my point is that the divine is in all things. Divine is in all things, and he's willing to help if you know what's going on and get into it. And the divine can help you, help them and me. But at that time, I wasn't as I am now and know what I know now. So I was praying then, but I was in a fearful state. You know, you be fearful. And I got kind of scared of him, but I wasn't scared to give, you know, my money back. But I just was scared of the situation because I had never, like I said, experienced something like that or experienced anything before. But then for long, you know, it started being that different family members I found that was using and doing it. So nobody can really talk about anybody. I mean, you can sit and say, okay, somebody, but eventually be somebody you know or somebody you care for. So I'm just saying, these things are not to criticize or judge anybody. It's just that this is a problem. And this is a huge problem in America and all over. But I just wanted to touch upon it and say that I had a personal experience with it and that, you know, the person want to talk about myself and the person and the people that's in it, that the substance is controlling them. They're not in their right mind. Not saying that they're not responsible for what they do, but that's not who they really are in truth. There's a divine soul, divine being in them that they can get to and that they connect to, but we'll get to that. But what I'm saying is what was taking place with me was I had to deal with that situation. And one time he came in the house, and I'm just going to give you all the scenarios that I had went through. So, you know, if anybody else going through some or heard of, you know, they can relate. If not, then I'm just can tell you my story. And he came in and he asked, he had scared me. He had asked me, did I have any money? And at the time, you know, I'm like, no, I don't have any money. But I was beginning to be afraid of them because I didn't know what they would do if they don't have it. And so, and then he would, like I said, go on these binges, 3 and 4 day binges. And I didn't know what, where he was at and what he was doing. So, and so therefore I said, no, I don't have it, but I've been, was afraid anyway. Me and my sister discussed, we like, we get kind of nervous, about this. We would talk, you know, about it, my sister and I. So I think he started picking up the fact that we was fear, you know, people, if, when they know you fear for them, they get, you know, he did start getting bold and started acting a certain kind of way. And I don't really react to that really well. And I told my sister, I said, you know what? We're going to have to get him out of here. We're going to have to, he's going to have to leave because people was calling me, I don't know, I don't know if they're drug dealers. I don't know who the people he owe. See, I don't know, you don't know what they're doing out there. And you hear, you're innocent. But if you're dealing with this, you could be, that's why I said it affects everything. But somebody called and said something. Do I know where he's at? That was my cue. I'm like, no. After about 8 months, you know, trying to deal with all this stuff and babies and all this, I said, listen, you have to go. I had to, you know, go, let him go. But then, you know, I knew he said, well, where am I going to go? I said, I don't know. You got to go with your parents, whatever. I don't know what you got to do. But what I'm saying is you can love somebody and they can be in your family or whatever. But it's a limit with you, what you can put up with and what you can't. You don't have to put up with it. And I did, and I said, you have to go. But then I also, I've got a good heart and stuff like that. So, well, I what I'll do is, since you don't know where you're going to go, I will, you know, look for you to have a room to stay or whatever. I did. I set it up. I had a nice lady talk to him, and he was out. I don't know. She was. I ain't trying to make him nobody else's problems, but I did find you a room that you could go and pay a certain account of money since you're working or whatever you're doing, you could pay that and deal with them and you can come see your, I don't know, but you got to get out of here. But anyway, but all that turmoil, that was turmoil within me, having a baby with this child and dealing with that. Even then, after he left, I was still trying to help him, getting meetings and all this. I really thought I could help him, you know what I'm saying? But really, that person, we get into that in a minute. That person has to come into themselves. And I know it ain't nothing new that nobody know that they got to come into God, come in themselves and help themselves and get the help they need, professional or whatever, but they need that spiritual help. So we're going to get into that in a minute. I'm just telling you my story and how it affect me and how it affect my family. And then at that particular time, it was some family members, you know, having problems with the same problems he was. You know, it's just a life thing. And I could say him at one point, he's the only person I knew. And I could kind of almost say, well, you, it's almost like an outside, I don't know nobody. No, that's not true. It started being people that I know within the family, cousins and stuff like that, is having the same type of family. I could not really put my finger and say he's outside. This is a problem altogether, guys. You see what I'm saying? And I had started dealing with that, with, you know, knowing like, oh my God, these people I know, I love, they're in it too as well. My sister, boyfriend, this and things, different that, you know, different scenarios was coming up. Well, this was an epidemic. People were having problems around me that had this. And I really was like, oh my God, you know, me waking up to the real life, the real substance abuse problem that was taking place, and that I was young and naive, didn't know that this thing went this far. You know, when you don't know, you just don't know. But I didn't know it was taken to that level. And so therefore, I'm like, wow, you know, this is really a problem. Now I got loved ones. I got cousins that's trying to get off this stuff. And, you know, and still, you know, you still got alcohol in the family, too, that's taking, running rapid, too, as well. But I want to tell my stories that I did have a relative that went through that for years. And some people never go off. And the thing is, it's a spiritual battle. And a family member, and she went through that with kids, and we had to help her and stuff like that. But I'm telling her story that a successful type, that it's a, you know, way to get off. And I guess you all know that. You probably know people that got off or heard of people get off, but it is not so cut and dry that you just, you know, a death sentence that you could never get off. It's that individual, what they need, and it's spirituality and professional help as well. All that is needed in this. This is a fight, really a spiritual fight that you're having with yourself. And so it was sad to see family members going through that, and the kids, their kids going through it. So this thing was massive in a way where it's like, wow, it's not just my boyfriend, my ex-boyfriend, but it's, you know, family members, people, cousins, people that I knew, friends that was having a problem with that. So this is a problem that was all over. But it was just me in focus and knowing. And then first, I'm not going to lie, I was judgmental, like, you know, what is wrong with them? Are they hyping up? You know, just very judgmental, because I had went through some pain and stuff like that. So I would talk about them and say these things, but I've learned since, no, that's not the way to go. That's not the way. But, you know, I was younger. I didn't know that, you know, God is in this, and that's not the way to handle it. But I was handling it the way I was handling at the time, at the level I was at, which was fearful, you know, in fear. But eventually he got it, but he's still battling it back and forth, you know. And, you know, it's not like saying, you know, I'm going to cut this guy off. I had a child by him. So I still had to see him go through it. It looked like he would be in recovery sometime and look like he's doing all right, but it affected, I'm telling you, my child growing up, him not really kind of being there, and just having his family was there. They were a great sense of support, but he was back and forth on those binges, doing this and that, back and forth. And I just, you know, I allowed him whenever he was able to see him, but it was a lot of anger with me with him, because I'm thinking to myself, why can't he just get off? I'm thinking to myself, it is really a battle. It's not that easy said than done. You know, you just can't get off like that. You know, pop your finger and it's gone, or you know, you do it. It can happen, but the person has got to be in a state where they're ready. And I know they always feel like they're ready, but you got to be in a state where you're ready and let God and surrender for real and really do it. And it's still a battle in that. I'm not saying that. And alcoholism creeped up in my family. And it was hard to see a family member on alcohol and trying to get off of that. So I'm talking about the substance abuse and the alcohol and all that that's going on and the judgment, you know, that I had with it, not so much with the alcohol, but with the just not knowing and being judgmental to the people. And you can't help but when they hurting you and they taking your stuff or they, you know, I'm not saying you're going to have some reaction to it. But what I'm saying is now that I know that, I'll just say this. I had some few words. I had words when I was saying this when my son was growing up about his father. And these were not things. I had to learn that you cannot talk about your son's father, even though he has those problems. You have to, you know, see it in a different way that, you know, he's in a situation that he got himself in. He can't, you don't want to follow that pattern that he done got himself where he's, you know, got a habit that it's hard for him to kick and be, and that I shouldn't, but I was just angry. He just, it's, you know, that anger and that hatred that I had that was, that had me angry because that was my son. He wasn't picking up on time, wasn't doing what he's supposed to do, Christmas, whatever. Whatever, that build up of anger, you know, anger toward him. So I'm just saying now that I know what I know now, not saying that I'm going to like everything that something happens. I'm just saying when you are connected more, you know more, you do more, and you react, your reaction is not the way it used to be. You respond more and you don't react in that way. And so I was reacting negatively because I was feeling that way. I was feeling judgmental. I was feeling in a way that, you know, caused me to feel that way. But anyway, back to the person. That person, my family member, your family member, the child's father, whomever is going through this, this is a spiritual battle they're having with themselves. And I know it's not nothing new, but when they're in this spiritual battle, they have to really release themselves to God. They have to release themselves to the divine. They have to know that it's possible. Even though they failed over and over and over, there's a bigger, there's a higher calling on their life, and there is a higher there's a higher God. There's God. The Christ consciousness is bigger than all their addictions. And so they have to surrender to that. They have to surrender to the parts that, the dark parts, and it's in all of us, guys, that we don't want to deal with, don't want to feel, don't want to hear about, don't want to, those things, those yucky things that we don't like about ourselves that happened to us in the past. And this is what they're not dealing with. Maybe some of us can deal with our feelings and we can get them out in our own way, but some people can't. It's so painful that it's always stifled down, it's held down. Those parts of us that we don't want to see or feel, they're still there. They're crying out, address me, address it, address me, what's going on inside. That painfulness that you're drinking about that you can't drink away. That painfulness that the you can't do drugs, have enough drugs, cocaine or whatever your use of your drugs, meth, whatever it is that you're putting in your body to numb yourself to the point that you don't, you know, you want to be out of this reality. Is still there. When once you get, that's why you need to do it again, because those feelings come up, those dark parts of us that we're not addressing, that we're not looking at, those hidden parts that we don't want to see. If we had sexual abuse or whatever it was that we had that was going on, people called us, abused us, bullied us, whatever, didn't get kind, people weren't kind to us, whatever it was, or we did something that was so bad that we didn't think God would forgive. We just feel dirty. Whatever it is that we're drinking, we're smoking about, those parts got, they have to be addressed. They're trying to be heard. There's a voice to them. It really is. There's a voice to those hurts. And that's why they dare address me. I'm still here. And so you have to get deeper with yourself. if you're an addict or if you're not an addict and just still dealing with feelings that you have to get deep with. I mean, it's a level where it's you and you and God and all that what's happened to you that's causing you to do what you do. Because the person that's doing it, they're fulfilling some kind of hurt. But it's a temporary one. It's not a hurt. I mean, it's not a, it's not long term. It's not a permanent situation where, you know, you take these drugs and they wear off. And here you go again. You're sitting at and looking at yourself. This always come back to self. It always come back to God. It always come back to the divine. It always come back to you. It always come back to your thoughts, how you feel about yourself, what's going on with you, or what happened in the past. You're subconsciously trying to block out. It always comes to that, people. And so that's where the divine is. You have to deal with those parts of you that you don't want to deal with, those parts of you that's hurting, and you have to address each of them. And you sometimes you don't even know where to start. It's like, damn, I'm just hurting all over. I don't even know where to start. You just start by you asking God. And I know we go into the divine, but we're going to go into the divine again today. We're going to always be in the divine because that's where God lives. He lives inside of us and outside of us, but he lives inside of us vibrationally. So you have to go in and ask, well, where can I start, Lord? I'm hurting all over. And some of you have already did it, and some of you are already successful and in doing it and did the work. But it is work. It ain't something you can brush over. It's nothing you can brush over. When you have an addiction or you're having problems, it ain't something you can put in, you know, drink about it and it's smooth. Oh, I did. I went to the center one time, or I went to the rehab. You know, you may have gone to it three times. Or four times, some people eight times. But really, it's not so much you when you come out of the centers or the addiction centers or whatever that helped you, where you are, you're still you when you come out. The world is still waiting on you. It's still the same. The liquor stores are on this corner. The dope people or whoever are, they still available. So it comes down to this. This is you. This is your life. What do you want to do with it? Are you still going to push all these dark feelings down and not deal with them? Keep piling on what you did when you was getting high, those things that happened, not even so much the past, the recent stuff you did. So you're trying to push that down. So eventually you're going to have to face what? A reckoning with what? Yourself and God. You're going to have to face whatever it is, and that's you. And that's your divine self still in there, hasn't gone. You still whole, but that part of you that you're trying to drink away, get high, whatever it is that you're trying to do, shop away, whatever it is your deal is that you're having problems with, you have to address it. And it don't be overnight. You have to address it. And it's one of these things that you have to turn the TV, all the distraction, people, places, and things. It's got to be you and you. And what I mean, you and you, is the real you, the true self, and the divine self, divine, the true self, and God, and your struggling parts, the dark parts. And you got to get down to it. You have to ask yourself. I always ask myself the questions. You know, what is going on with me? Why am I wasn't feeling good that day today? That well. Just had surgery. I wasn't feeling in my mental state today, but I had to ask myself, am I choosing to stay in a state? You know, not saying that I have to always be in it, but I have to feel the state that I'm in. And I'm just saying, I wasn't feeling that well, but then my thoughts started piling up, and I said, hey, I don't have to necessarily stay in this state. I'm feeling this way, but I don't have to stay this way. But what I'm saying to you is, I'm talking to you, divine listeners, you have got to, whatever it is, get quiet with yourself. And even if you got to write the horrible things that you so-called, that you did, whatever, you have to write it and ask God to forgive you. Even if you got to ask that person, I do something powerful, you ask that person, they don't have to be in front of you for be, but you can write their name down. Whatever it is, where, you know, if it's dealing with people or who you hurt, you ask God to forgive you. You ask and you forgive yourself, say, Lord, please forgive me. and I forgive myself. And then that person or situation or event, you ask God to release it to its good. Highest good. You ask God to release all that, but it's a process with this. And I'm not saying I have all the answers. I'm no counselor, drug counselor, whatever. If you need that, you need to. This is the spiritual side that's coming out. Now, see, I wasn't planning on talking about. I asked God for the topics. I didn't even know this topic was coming up. This topic was brought to me through the divine, because apparently something out there that listeners need to hear. So I have to go with that. I'm like, substance abuse, I said, but I do know personally about this. So maybe it's something I need to talk about. Maybe it's something I need to talk about within myself that I never really expressed that needed to come out. But you guys are divine listeners, and I give you everything. I leave nothing out. I give you everything that's going on with me, and hopefully it can help. But anyway, you have to be with yourself, know that the divine, Christ consciousness, Jesus, God, whatever way, you know, it's a greater, the universe, if you want to call that, is there. It's bigger than any problem that you could ever think of. It's greater. And so you surrender to that. But what I'm saying is put those things down, those things that you no, and you probably don't remember all the stuff, but this helps. You put that down. You think about what you did or whatever that's bothering you. Well, if it's sexual abuse, I mean, get help. I'm not saying do this, but this is a personal thing too as well, because when you get through talking to the counselor, you're going to have to deal with those feelings. So you still are in a state where you still have to deal with self. There's no getting around dealing with self, guys. There's no getting around with dealing with self. So you're dealing with yourself. You have to put your situation down on paper. If that feels like it, if you think about it, if you feel it, feel those feelings. Because that's the first thing. Nobody wants to feel it. Not even myself. You think from this stuff is painful. I don't want to feel it. But this is what you're not addressing. This is what is inside. So you have to feel it, whatever that at that moment that's bothering you, that's taunting you, that's taunted you for years, whatever it is. You have to feel it fully, and then ask God to let it go. Forgive it if it's rape, whatever. Because we all have been through some tremendous stuff, and I'm not saying it, but we're still here. That means that we are survivors. It didn't survive us. We survived it. So if you're here to listen to it, listen to my voice, you're here, that means that that's the past. And if it's still going on, maybe it happened today. That still can be worked with today. You still lived another day to deal with it. So what it is you need to deal with that, those issues, and it's not overnight. You have to continuously deal with yourself, continuously let go, breathe, ask God to release those things. And the person who is not on drugs and that's dealing with you, like myself, I had to either get myself out of the situation, or you both get help if you're a husband and wife. I don't know. I can't tell you. But if it's toxic to me and it's not getting better, you need to leave. It'll be your choice. You know what your limits are. And some people put up with it longer than others. Some people put up with it for 20 years. I put it with it maybe 2 years, and that was long enough. I couldn't put up. That was my limit, because I felt like it was getting dangerous for me. But it's not so much as that, but, you know, you need to get the help, too, that the person that's dealing with it, because you're just a nervous wreck as well. I was just stressed out all the time. I wasn't myself. I really wasn't myself. And so I had to leave the situation. I was better for leaving it. But I still, you know, I learned over the years, you know, he was still in battle, guys. He was still in battle, and he was still my son's father. And I had to have sympathy. I ain't saying you need to, but this is what happened over time with my spirituality and building. I had the sympathy toward him, and I had to ask God to help him deal with his problems, deal with his demons, deal with himself, so he can be a better person. And he has. As far as my family member, I'm just giving you help, you know, hope of that. She was dealing with her situation and she was having problems with. She went to God, surrender, got herself together, and she cleaning sober for years and doing well and not dealing with that at all. So I have good stories. I have wonderful stories about it. It can be done. It's not saying it's a death sentence. I have a brother, and I could say that because he is open with the fact that he had alcoholism problem, alcohol problem, and that he had it. He had his quick. He had started drinking. He wasn't even drinking that much. I think he started. That's why they said don't drink early. He started. I don't know what if alcohol was he was allergic to it or whatever, but I think he started drinking at 17 or something. He was an alcoholic by 20. I don't know what happened. He didn't drink like all these other people that drink, you know. And they did say with children, if you start drinking at the age of 10, you'll be an alcoholic by the age of 13 or 14. It, you know, your body, that's why they say, you know, don't drink, you know, early. But anyway, he had went through his trials. And I just want to say he went through his trials with his alcoholism. And he did go to AA, but he go to health. But then it, he said, it comes down to me, like I was telling you. He's one brother that, no, it comes down to him and God. He had to do this on himself. He wasn't going, I'm not, if you're going to an AA, that's fine. But he found that he had to do it on himself. He had a lot of failures. He did, it didn't happen overnight. But he did it. But he did it. He said that he had to deal with his demons, himself, his problems. I use the word demon, but, you know, his issues or whatever that was going on with him, his dark parts of him that he was not dealing with. You know, we all have our problems. So he, on a path, he should be a counselor. He should be, to me, an alcoholic, anonymous, whatever counselor, because he could tell you the depths of it. And he don't mess with alcohol because he said if he drank one more, you know, he tried to drink again, it wouldn't be one beer. He'll end up drinking 15 more beers or 15 more glasses of wine. It just wouldn't be one. So everybody knows that. But he got into the depth of it. And guys, I know it seemed like that with some loved ones and one, but it is hope that you can do it because I'm a witness of it. With people recovering in my family and other families, and that it can be happening, but you know, it's help from the professionals, it's help from everybody, AA, whatever, friends, whatever, but it gets down to you. It gets down to you and God, you and the divine, you and Christ consciousness. It gets down to that. It comes to that. And so you have to deal with your issues and surrender to God. I mean, truly surrender to God. And pray and meditate or whatever it is that you do, but surrender this thing to God. And you know this thing is too heavy because if you could do it, you would have done it. So the thing is, you can do it, but it's a spiritual battle is what I'm saying. It's a spiritual battle. Everything starts in the mind. Everything starts in the spirit. Everything starts with you. So you have to end with you and start with you. So it comes all the way back to us, guys. It comes back to being, getting divine information, getting divine help, getting divine help and all that it comes with it. And I mean, I want to say divine healing. I'm saying help. Yes, help, but divine healing. I mean, all over for your whole entire life. So it is possible that this could be done. Like I said, I'm a witness to this. All these things that happened to me really are gifts to give to you or anybody that's listening that, you know, that you're going through something or someone you know that's going through something that's heavy like that. Substance abuse and can't get off, meth, you know, it's hard getting off. It tears your body down. It tears, you know, your kids down. It affects your life, period. It affects your family, your children, everybody you know. And so we have to start getting to the root of this. We have to start getting to what is really bothering us before, so we can deal with it, so we won't have to, you know, use drugs or alcohol. That we can just see ourselves, our beautiful selves and soul for what, who we really are. Who we truly are as divine beings, beautiful beings that God brought forth. But a lot of things, I don't know why they happen. God have all these things happening for a reason, to have us all in an awakening. And we don't know all the answers. We don't know everything that's going on. But if you follow God, be in the flow of God, be in the flow of the divine, you can get your answers. You can get off of drugs. And you can become a citizen of God. You can see, citizen of who you really are, the divine that's in you. And you can live a wholesome and healthy life. And you don't have to go through all these problems. But these problems help. They start subconsciously back in the past. It's always in the past. Something that happened when you were 7, 8, 9, 10, it comes as subconscious. Those hurts are embedded some kind of way in the mind. And then in the body. Is trapped in the body and in the mind, and it has to be released. And it takes God to do it, professional, and you, and all of you, and your spirituality, everything to come to that divine healing that we really need, that divine healing that all of us need. So, you know, you need to seek that. And the person that's, like I said, is supporting you, I need help too. You know, yeah, that's not new either. You know, the person that's supporting you or trying to help you, if you're trying to help your son and he's, you know, on drugs, it's heartbreaking. It breaks your heart because you don't know how. And you do pray. And it's a lot of mothers praying. And a lot of mothers are getting answers. But then, you know, you don't know why that person is still going back and forth like the child father. You know, I couldn't solve his problems for him. I prayed for him, but it's something that he has to do. And it's something that mother's child has to do. It's an individual thing. It goes back to the self. You know, you can pray. We can, you know, turn the child around. We want it to turn around, but it don't turn around the way we want it, as fast as we want it. But it's still that child. If he's going through something, if it's your child, he can be your adult child or your daughter that's going through something that got up in the wrong, got mixed up. It's still her. She has to come to the conclusion. And I have to say, sadly, sometimes it don't come to a wholesome ending. It doesn't work out the way we want it to. Then God have purpose there, too. There's still purpose. And it don't turn out the way we want it to. Sometimes they pass away with a needle in their arm, heroin. Sometimes they die and over overdose. That's every day. That's common. But we still need to have that hope for the people that's still living, that haven't passed over yet. And we have to learn from the ones that did pass over. What can we do? And how can we help? How can we get a message out that will help somebody in this situation, or people in this situation, or a group of people, whatever way we can, if we can help families get over this, because this is a problem that's very sensitive. Nobody likes to talk about it. It's worldwide. It's not just this family, that family. You know, it's not the poor people. Oh, the ghettos, oh, they're all in the ghetto. No, no, no. This is a problem that's all over. Rich, semi-rich, middle class, whatever way you want to put it, it's a problem. Celebrities, everybody is dealing with this kind of problem. Matter of fact, it's worse with some of them because simple fact that, you know, they got the money to do it. So I'm just here to say, you know, that I hope my situation can help someone out there or people out there to know that it's not a death sentence, that it is possible. and you do all you can to do with it. And if you're in that situation, like I said, if you can, and if it's detrimental and toxic, you need to try to find a way to move away. And so I just want to say I'm sharing my story with the divine listeners, and that I give you all of my story. I give you all of my hope and divine love, and that I'm wishing you the best and have a beautiful week. And good night. I wish you well, and everybody's blessed. My next show is March the 7th, 2020, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time. You can contact me at divineinterventiondtl@gmail.com. And I love you guys, and I wish you the best, and I guess you hold on. Blessings to you. Good night.